We read the Christmas story from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2. And in verse 2, the wise men ask, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Bible doesn't tell us a lot about that star. The Bible tells us that God has a name for all the stars. And since this was a special star, you might have thought that God would have told us the name that he had for this particular star. But he didn't. But it was a star that was different than most that we read about in the Bible. It appeared at the appointed time. Now, again, I say that, and we take it for granted, I take it for granted that you know what I mean. But I want to make sure you understand. Light travels 186,000 miles a second, but stars are far away. And it takes a long time for light, even traveling at that speed, to reach the earth. And yet God had this star appear in the heavens in the exact time for that light to make it all the way from that star to lead the wise men to Christ at the exact time that they were looking for the star. You see, these men were from the part of the world that had the book of Daniel written in their language, and they had studied the prophecy of when the Messiah was going to appear. And when that time was getting near, they started looking to the heavens for a sign from God that God was going to keep his promise and send the Messiah. And God, in his omnipotent power and wisdom, made that star appear in the heavens, knowing how long it would take that light to reach the earth, knowing when the wise men would be looking for it. And so, again, it's just amazing, amazing, amazing the kind of God that we have that made this star appear at just the right time for the wise men. So it appeared. It was his star. It was the Savior star. It was the Messiah star. And it exhibited a characteristic that most stars don't. Most stars are placed in their position by God, and they stay in that position. Of course, I know there are shooting stars and different things like that, but most stars have a place, and they don't move from that place. For example, the North Star has been there from creation. It has been used by people down through the ages to navigate from. In fact, I think I told you this before. I recently read that the Navy has started training their sailors to be able to navigate by the stars and not depend on all the electronics that we have, because they realize that electronics may fail, but the God-given way to navigate has always been and will always be in place. It will never fail. The North Star will always keep its place as long as the heavens and the earth exist. But this star was different. It moved and stopped. We read about it. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Some people, and certainly you could make this comparison, have compared this star that appeared to lead the wise men, have compared it to the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led the Israelites through the wilderness to the promised land. You remember in the book of Exodus, we read about that cloud that appeared by day, the pillar of fire that appeared by night, and when it moved, the people moved. When it stopped, the people stopped. And so, much like this star that appeared to lead the wise men, God had led his people, the Israelites, before. And we don't know, so we know some things about the star. We don't know a lot about it, but one thing we do know, and this is the truth that I'd like to key on tonight, and it's probably the most blessed thing that we need to know about the star. The star led the wise men to Christ. They followed the star to Jesus. Now, I think there's a tremendous message in that fact, because that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We are supposed to lead other men, other women, other boys, other girls. We are supposed to lead them to Jesus Christ. In fact, in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness," turn many to Jesus, as the stars forever and ever. In the book of Matthew, the Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so the question that I ask myself tonight, the question that I ask each of you tonight, are you shining? Is your light bright? Can men and women, boys and girls, see their way to Jesus Christ through you? Tonight I speak on the subject, how to be a Christmas star. How to be a Christmas star. There's three things I want to mention about this star that need to be true in our life if we're going to accomplish the same thing that that star accomplished, leading others to Christ. The first one we read about in verse 2. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. If we're going to point people to Jesus Christ, that has to be true of us as well. We must be his. We must belong to him. Now, being his is a two-part process. Number one, he takes you. And number two, you take him. That's how you become his. That's how you belong to Jesus Christ. Two parts. He takes you, you take him. First part's already done. God has already decided to take you. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God the Father has chosen you. God the Father has chosen me to be part of his family. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be part of the family of God. Don't believe these crackpots that tell you God has chosen some people before they were born to go to hell, and he's chosen other people before they were born to go to heaven. That's not true. God doesn't choose anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to go to heaven. That's why he made salvation so free. That's why he uses the words whosoever. That's why he made it so easy that even a child could understand. God doesn't want anybody to be separated from him. Every single person, God has a desire that they go to heaven. Now, just because he knows how a person is going to decide what to do with Jesus Christ, just because he has that foreknowledge, doesn't mean that he's excluded them from heaven. God doesn't exclude anybody from heaven. People exclude themselves. When people reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they have excluded themselves from heaven. So the first part has been done. God has chosen us. He's picked us. Now, the second part is up to each individual. He's chosen us. He's taken us. We need to take him. The Bible tells us how to do that. In Romans 10:10, the Bible says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I talked about it this morning. The heart believeth unto righteousness. The heart believeth that it's a sinner. The heart believeth that it's fallen short of the glory of God. The heart believeth that there's a penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death. The heart believeth that Jesus died, not for any sin that he committed, but for all of our sin. That's believing unto righteousness. That's what Paul and Silas were talking about when they told the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That jailer had to believe the same thing that we have to believe in order to be saved, that we're sinners. There's a penalty for that sin, and Christ paid the penalty. And then we confess with our mouth. We confess that we want Christ to be our Savior. Again, from Romans chapter 10, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a promise. It's a guarantee from God. So let me ask you tonight, are you his? If you're going to be like the Christmas star, if you're going to shine and so other people can see their way to Christ, you have to be his. John 1:12, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Amen. You know, as I read the Bible and I read verses like we've just read, I have a hard time with people that think they have to work their way to God. I have a hard time believing that this thing called work salvation. Over and over and over in the Word of God, the Bible is very clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Works come later. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship after we get saved, created unto good works after we get saved. So, are you his? You can't be a star, a Christmas star, until you are. We sang that song, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." So you got to be his. This was his star. Number two, we see in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. It moved. Let me ask you tonight to notice what direction it moved. It moved closer to Christ. It moved closer to Jesus. If we're going to be a Christmas star, if we're going to shine so that people can see their way to Jesus through us, we've got to be moving in the same direction. We've got to be moving closer to him. If we're going to shine like this Christmas star, we need to say like Paul did in Philippians chapter 3 when he said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead," not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, "but I follow after Christ, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but the one thing I do, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What Paul was saying is, I want to move closer to Christ. That's the goal that I'm striving for, to be like him, to know the power of his resurrection, to live my life in such a way that reflects Christ. And the only way that, again, we're going to let our light shine so that other people can see their way to Christ through us is to spend our life getting closer to him. Because the closer you get to him, the more we'll be like him. And by the way, that's what God's desire is for every single one of us as Christians. He wants us to become more and more like Jesus. He wants us to have Christ's mind. He wants us to think like Jesus did. He wants us to have Christ's spirit, the spirit that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, that spirit of forgiveness. That spirit that doesn't condemn, but that spirit that shows mercy and grace and forgiveness. He wants us to have his love for others. Look, if you're not getting closer to Christ, you're probably backsliding. Most Christians don't just stand still. They're either moving forward or they're moving back. They're either getting closer to Christ or they're letting the things of the world drive them away. Again, the things of the world can't make us lose our salvation, but it can stop us in our Christian growth. It can back us up in our Christian growth. We need to have the same desire that Fanny Crosby had when she wrote these words. It's a song that we're familiar with, but I want you to think about it in this context of getting closer to Christ. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. You see, the closer we get to Christ, the more our will be lost in his. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour. That before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Can you imagine that?
Amen.
Can you imagine the creator of the universe, the all-powerful, omnipotent God? We can come into his presence and we can commune with him as friend to friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. How do we get closer? We spend time in this book. We spend time in his word. Everything God wants us to know is in this book. There's no new revelation. It's all here. Some of it, he reveals this to us a little bit at a time. He doesn't put the whole book into our mind. We have to study it to get it, but that's how you get closer. That's how you learn more about him. You read the book that he is, that he wrote. You spend time in prayer before the throne, communing with him. He knows our need. Ruth Ann sang that in one of the verses of our song. We have a God that knows every one of our needs, but he likes for us to come and spend time in prayer and share those needs with him. We get closer to God by coming to church services. I asked Nicole and Josh tonight, I said, well, where'd you guys used to go to church? I said, oh, we used to go to Bible Baptist. And she looked around and said, I don't remember the name, but I know that person, and I know that person, and I know that person, and I know that person. She even remembered you, Brother Paul. Hard to believe, but she remembered you. That's how you grow closer to the Lord. You come and you fellowship with God's people. How do you grow closer to the Lord? You serve him. You serve him. You serve him. So let me ask you a question tonight, a Christmas question. Are you nearer to God this Christmas than you were last Christmas? I ask myself the same question. Am I nearer to God this Christmas than I was last Christmas? If we're going to let our light shine, if people are going to see their way to Jesus Christ through us, we need to be his. Number two, we need to be moving closer to him. And number three comes from verse 9 again. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over the place where the young child was. If we're going to be a Christmas star, if the light that we reflect is going to lead men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ, we need to stand. We need to live a consistent Christian life. Not a Christian today and a sinner tomorrow. Not exhibiting the new nature today and the old nature tomorrow. Not out of the world today and in the world tomorrow. I believe the biggest obstacle, one of the biggest obstacles that keeps others from coming to Christ is inconsistent Christians. Is Christians that do and take part in things just like the world does. The world, you know, the world, I mean, everybody in the world, Brother Leroy was talking about tonight in his testimony, we're a minority. The world has their own standards. The world has their own priorities. The world has their own language. The world has worldly things. And when people look at Christians, they're looking for something different than the world. They're looking for something that matters. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, Satan does lie in wait. He's waiting to point out to those that don't know Christ every time we as a Christian take a step back and fall or stumble in our Christian life. Here's what Satan says. Hey, you see what that Christian did? He's doing the same thing you do. What good is Christianity? He talks like you. He thinks like you. He does like you. Christianity doesn't have anything to offer. That's what Satan will say. He's the great accuser. I'm looking forward to that day when the accuser is cast out of heaven and accuses the brethren no more. It's going to happen one day. But that's what he's doing today. And that's why we need to stand. We need to be consistent in our living, in our thinking, in our doing. We sing that little chorus, and most of the time we sing it on Old Fashioned Day, but it's a good chorus to sing any time of the year. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Jesus wants us to be like that star that appeared to the wise men. That's why he said in Matthew 28, 19, and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. That's why he said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why he said to Andrew and Peter and to all of us when he called them to be disciples, when he called us to be disciples in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So if we're going to be one, we got to be his. He's already chosen you. If you haven't chosen him, you need to do that tonight. Got to be getting closer to him, and we got to stand. Need to ask the same question that the wise men ask. And this is the question that the world is asking. It's asking us, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star. Hopefully that'll be one of us, and they'll come to worship him. I close. You know, we have some ladies that can in our church, and Brother Wayne at Senior Saints let some read some of their poetry. And I always enjoy that part of the program when some of our ladies read their poems. I'm not a poet, but I took a little song. Arnie and I used to sing it on the way to my mom's when he would go down with me on Sunday night. He doesn't like my singing very well either. I've told you before when we were growing up and I was sitting in the, when Adam and Chantel were growing up, not Adam and Chantel, when Adam and Jessica were growing up and I was sitting in the pew with them, I've always liked to sing. And I couldn't care if I could carry a tune or not. I just liked to sing. And I could always see them when we were sitting each other, they would be, you know, sliding down the aisle. They didn't want to be identified with Dad. Well, Arnie has picked up that gene from Adam, and he doesn't like my singing. But I won't try to sing it to you tonight, but I'm going to change the words, a couple of the words to close tonight. Twinkle, twinkle, Christmas star, sharing Jesus where you are, showing men both far and wide how he lived and why he died. Twinkle, twinkle, Christmas star, sharing Jesus where you are. That's what we need to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for sending that star at just the right time to guide the wise men. They found the Savior. I pray, Father, that you would use us like you used that star, that you would use our light to bring men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never received Christ, that Holy Spirit, you've spoken to them during this time. You've shown them their sin, the penalty for that, the price for that sin, the penalty for that sin, the price that Jesus paid for it on Calvary, and he did it for them because he loved them as an individual. And I pray tonight that they'd put aside every excuse that they've had and used for not coming to Jesus, and they would come to him tonight. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Most of us, if not all of us tonight, are Christians. We've enjoyed the grace and the mercy that you extended to us. And we belong to you. We're yours tonight because we've accepted Christ. Help us to let our light shine so that others can see what we have in Christ and come to him as well. Just bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.